Hello and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. I'm Ashley Nickel with the Packer and PMG, and today we bring you an interview between our editor-in-chief, Tom Karst, and the president and CEO of Avocados from Mexico, Alvaro Luque. Alvaro is the Packers 2020 Produce Marketer of the Year. Tom presented this award to Alvaro October 13th during the Produce Marketing Association's virtual Fresh Summit. Gary Coloroso, the chairman of the board for Avocados from Mexico, summed up what Alvaro has been able to do in his time with the organization. Here's his quote. He wants to push the envelope and do things that have never been done before, and he has. It has just broken the paradigm of what success looks like in produce marketing. So without further ado, we'll take you over to Tom's conversation with Alvaro Luque.
Alvaro, good to have you on today, and I want to congratulate you for the Packers Produce Marketer of the Year Award.
Tom, thank you for having me, and thank you for this great recognition. We're very proud, very humbled. I think it's a great opportunity for us, and I feel very happy that you guys are giving me this chance. So appreciate it.
As you think about your time in the industry, 6 years at Avocados from Mexico. What do you think prepared you for this challenge that you've had and the things that you've done at the organization?
Yeah, so you know what? I firmly believe that one of the great advantages that I have as an individual and we have as a company is this combination of experiences that we have in here. I've been only 6 years in this company. It means that I've only been 6 years in produce, but I've been 20 plus years in CPG. So that combination of understanding CPG, what's out there, and trying to bring that into produce, understanding how and respecting how produce works, I think is a great combination. And that's definitely been a very important part of the preparation of the success that we've had as a company, right? The other thing that is also very important is that I have a very complex ecosystem that I report to, because I report to three different boards and also to the USDA. So I have a lot of bosses, right? But since day one, these guys have been fantastic, very open to new things. I came to the company in January 2014, and 5 months after that, I was proposing these guys to do a Super Bowl ad. So they got it. They supported us since the beginning with the crazy thinking, and I feel that that's also been a very good foundation for the type of company that we are right now.
Mm-hmm. That's an awesome beginning there for you. And as you have had time to know the industry, learn all about avocados, obviously. And so many things have been accomplished for avocados. So what's perhaps your number one goal as you look ahead for avocados for Mexico?
So I still think that there's a lot of room to grow in this category. Uh-huh. So if we have an exercise that we do as a company that we call our BHAGs, our big, hairy, scary goals for the future, my BHAG is to make sure that the U.S. Becomes the number one consumption country of avocados in the world. And I believe that could happen, right, per capita wise. I think that if we develop this country the right way, they're going to continue growing the consumption of this fruit. But the important thing is that we keep that value and growth growing at the same time. So it's always a profitable business for our stakeholders, because so far that's been the great combination that we have seen in avocados, right? It's not easy to grow a category so much and still have a value growth like we have seen. So we want to keep that for the future, and I believe that we can do that. Now, on the marketing point of view, our big objective is that we want to become the most innovative produce company in the world. And we're doing everything that we can to stand out, not only in produce, not only in the U.S., but trying to go beyond if possible. We're very happy that this year Fast Company chose us as one of the 100 best places to work for innovators in the world. Out of 900 companies that they investigated with Accenture, we got into the top 100, and the first time that a produce company gets in there. So we're in the right track to become that most innovative produce company in the world. But it's a long way, but we want to get there.
Mm. And I can tell from comments from other people that work with you that you are a very receptive leader. What do you enjoy most about your job and getting the job done? What do you like about what you do?
So I think it's a combination, right? On one side, this job is a true marketer's dream, right? Because you have a category that is super cool. It's in trend. People like to talk about it. Like they like to relate with you a lot, and it's healthy and profitable and valuable and growing, right? So has all these positive elements around it. And the way that this works is the more that we sell, the more marketing resources that we're going to have for the future. So that's a fantastic combination for a marketer, right? In most of the marketing companies out there, especially CPGs, it's the contrary. When you're facing complicated situations like this year with COVID, the first thing that they're going to cut is marketing, right? They go after advertising. We don't have that issue, right? So we have that opportunity of developing really the company with the resources that keep on growing because of the growth that we have generated for the category. So on the marketing side, that's a dream, okay? On the other side, the other thing that excites me a lot, it's developing a culture for the company, because actually we're still a startup. We only have 6 years. There's a lot of things that we're still figuring out and doing as a company. But that idea of building off a company from the ground up and building off a culture, we're only 35 people. But imagine in 35 people, we have 9 different nationalities. We have 55% of our workforce is women. We have a lot of diversity in the workforce that we have. So it's not easy to manage all that. But trying to build up that culture from the ground up is one of my passion projects right now.
That's very cool. And you talk about diversity and diversity of thought. To welcome that and to encourage that, I've heard that's one of your strengths as well. What do you think about as far as the most challenging part of your job? What do you think about that?
Well, I always, every time that they ask me that, I always respond the same way. Even though we have a lot of marketing challenges, I believe that the most difficult part of our job as a mm-hmm. president or as a CEO is managing people, right? Because they're so diverse, and it's always difficult to try to balance the company in a way that everyone's happy, everyone's excited to move forward. But it's also challenging, and it's also very exciting to try to build up those projects and see what's working, what we need to change. We're a company that we listen to our employees. We're doing our engagement surveys internally to understand if we're doing things that we're not doing it the right way. We want to change to be sure that these guys stay with us for the future. And the amount of people that we have lost in 6 years is almost zero. It's very, very low. So I think that we are doing great things, but we need to learn more. So that idea of managing people is always complicated, but very exciting. On the other hand, from the marketing point of view, my message to the company in the past 2 years have been, let's reinvent ourselves, because I believe that our biggest enemy that we have out there is complacency. We've been very good in the first 5 years. We've definitely broken some big molds in the produce category, but now we need to keep on growing, and we need to keep on inventing new things and bringing new ideas to the table. So that's the big enemy that we need to face. But I'm pretty sure that with the team that we have, it's going to be highly successful.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the record of success you've got, and some of the things that you've done are extraordinary that have never been done before. In the industry, such as the advertising in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's a high bar. How do you keep building on that? And how do you keep, as you said, not being complacent, but continuing to stretch yourself?
Yes, it's hard, right? Because we want to continue with the successes. The Super Bowl for us is going to be always in our hearts. And we need to understand that we're a company that have built a lot around that event, and we need to continue there. But this year is very special because this is a year that we're not going to be in the Super Bowl for the first time in 6 years, in 7 years, because we've been in six in a row. So now we're using this year as a year to reinvent ourselves and do some things differently before we come back in 2022 to the Super Bowl again. So what are we doing? If you ask me where's my future, and this is going to be a little bit of a long answer, so you can edit that. But basically, it's three things that I'm looking for in the company. The first one that is one of my most interesting passion projects is what we call mass personalization. And mass personalization is around digital and technology. And that is one of the big paradigms that we have broken when we started dealing with all the marketing programs in this company. That is, how can a fruit be technologically savvy, right? And actually we can. We've been the only brand in the Super Bowl that has been in the first two spots of the top digital campaigns for 5 years in a row. Not even Pepsi or Budweiser or anyone has done that. So how can a fruit without packaging, without product innovation can do that? Mm-hmm. And it's believing in technology. So we understand the value of that, and we've been preparing the company for that. So right now we have, we're going to close the year with 80 million user IDs in our consumer database. And we are changing slowly the way that we're interacting with our consumers. Instead of going through traditional channels, we're building up our own first party data to go directly with them and understand that if they are part of our consumer data platform, then they love avocados more than other people. So the engagement that we are seeing in those first-party data IDs that we have are 60% compared to 15% that we have in the A/B testing. So it's been incredible to see where we can move as a company using technology and first-party data to create more sales, more engagement for the future. So that's one big project that I'm working on. The second one is experiential, because we're trying to change the way that people interact with our brand. So you see it on the culinary side, where we not only have two concepts that we have developed for concessions, we're building the third one this year with Boston Red Sox. And we have our own restaurant that we develop here in Dallas. And the idea is that people from the culinary side can experience our brand, experience our ideas, and we can use that as a day-to-day lab to create new ideas and opportunities for the future. Same thing with education. PMA actually is going to be very interesting for us, because we're unveiling. We've been working now for 2-3 years in our avocado university. It's the only certified avocado university in the world. And now in PMA, we're unveiling the online version of our avocado university. So now produce professionals from retail and from food service can go into our interactive site and become avocado experts with the six models that we're unveiling. So that experience is also a big part of what we're doing, and we want to continue growing for the future. And the last one is how to reinvent the sales experiences of our category. So on one side, we understand what e-commerce is doing for the category. We want to become a benchmark in e-commerce for fresh in the US. Actually, we're now doing things with Walmart that not even CPG companies are doing. They're using us to test some new technologies with their e-com platform. So we have a lot of opportunities to change the dynamic of retail there. And we're doing the same thing in food service with a patron consumer program for the future that we're launching this year.
That's fascinating with the e-commerce. That type of engagement has to be valuable going forward, I would think.
Totally. The numbers that we have is that in 5 years, e-commerce is going to become like more than 20% of this of the sales of this category if this continue mm-hmm. to grow this way. So how can you not understand 20% of your sales in retail, right? So definitely we're going very strong into that part with high investments, new technologies, new people dedicated just to e-commerce because we see the future there.
Interesting. I know you talked about COVID-19 before. How has that changed up your plans a little bit this year? Obviously working from home would be one major area, but what are your observations, I guess, about COVID and how that's impacted you guys?
Yeah, big time. You know, COVID at the beginning was tricky because the first part of it, the first wave that we saw early March was fantastic, right? When people got out and started buying everything that they can find in the shelves, it was great. But then we hit the reality hit, and we saw almost 4 weeks where we were projecting close to 45% of our budget. So it was a big hit, especially knowing that around 35% of the volume of our cows in the U.S. goes to food service. Mm, so food service almost disappeared from one moment to the other, right? So we moved very fast and created a COVID strategy to try to come out of this. And the first part of it, obviously, you already mentioned, was we need to be sure that we don't have that concern of our employees. Mm. Let's take care of them, right? So everyone home, we're going to change the way that we work. It's going to be 100% virtual, and that happened from one day to the other. After that, we started investigating a lot with the consumers and our clients to see where we needed to move, and we found very interesting avenues that we've been using to try to develop the category. One is changing a little bit the conversation with the consumer. The consumer now is looking for more culinary innovation, is looking for more education, for more hygiene tips, how to extend the use of fruit in their homes because they don't want to go to the store very frequently. So the way that we changed it, the communication with them was very good. We tested a new way to communicate Cinco with them during this pandemic, and actually became the number one digital program that we have launched in 6 years. We saw almost 6 billion impressions out of our Cinco strategy this year. And that was understanding what the consumer needed to hear, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. The other thing is how to develop sales. E-commerce is one that we already talked about. But the other one that is very important for us is bags. Why bags? Because people want to move fast in the point of sales. They don't want to go and do the slow shopping experience that they were doing in the past. Now they want to go in and go out fast. And bags is also very good because it's a product that people think that they don't touch that much, right? Like regular bulk avocados. So easy for them to grab those bags and move on. So we're launching for the first time huge national promotions and initiatives in bags this year because we know that that's where the consumer wants to go, right? So that's another big change that we're seeing in COVID that we're trying to capture for the future and making it ours. And we have seen a great success in that, Tom. From that dip that we saw at the end of March and April, we were able to recuperate that, and we broke our sales record in this past fiscal year with 2.1 billion pounds. And I think that we're going to break it again this new fiscal year.
Well, that's amazing. And that leads kind of into my next question as we wrap up. You know, avocados have been growing, obviously, through the years since the early 2000s. Mexico has been a big part of that. As we look forward, can we look to continued growth in avocados and the supply from Mexico? Or are we going to have an opportunity to grow demand even more? What do you think?
100%. I believe that we still have a lot of room to grow. This category has around, I would say, 60% household penetration. So we still have 40% to grow. But if you just concentrate on that 60%, more than 70% of those people are just buying 3 avocados a month. So imagine, you cannot even do a good guacamole with 3 avocados, right? So there's a lot of room to keep on growing in the consumers that are already consuming the fruit. And that's the strategy that we're trying to follow. It's more a share of wallet strategy more than a market share, right? I don't want to go after market share. I want to grow the category with those users, right? And Mexico has supply for that, of course. Mexico has been growing steady in the past years, and we're going to see that. We're not going to see the Mexico that explodes 20% growth in volume from one year to the other. What we want is a steady, healthy right. growth that we can maintain volume and value growing for the future. We understand that's the way that it's going to be, and we prepare as a company to support that.
Well, that's exciting, and there's a lot going on with Avocados from Mexico, and so good to have you in here to talk about what you're doing. And Alvaro, again, thank you for your time and congratulations.
So that was Tom's conversation with Alvaro. You can read much more about his accomplishments with Avocados from Mexico on thepacker.com. We also presented awards recently to our Produce Retailer of the Year, Jeff Cady, the Director of Produce and Flora with Tops Friendly Markets, and to Aline Smethers, the Packer's 2020 Canadian Produce Person of the Year. Aline is the Assistant VP and General Merchandise Manager for Costco Wholesale Canada. You can read about all these folks and their remarkable contributions to the industry, again, on thepacker.com. We appreciate everyone listening, and we'll see you soon on the Tip of the Iceberg podcast.